Walter. I'm a biologist with the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife. And today I'm going to be talking about some ongoing research I'm conducting in collaboration with the University of Alaska Fairbanks and the Coast Salmon Partnership, which is focusing on predicting the freshwater distribution of adult salmonids to help guide restoration efforts in the Chehalis. So understanding the factors that influence the distribution of species is a fundamental goal of ecology and are often crucial knowledge gaps for the effective management and restoration of fishes. So one way of describing freshwater distribution is by what we'll be calling the range of occurrence. And so the range of occurrence is the overall quantity of habitat available for a species that encompasses the total of all freshwater life stages. So you can look in this little conceptual diagram here. You know, we have juvenile rearing habitat, spawning habitat, and migration corridors. And so all that is going to be sort of encompassing what we're considering the range of occurrence. And then connectivity among all these different heterogeneous habitat patches is crucial for the viability of species, as the suitability of these patches can shift over space and time. And so when considering restoration actions, it's important to ask the question, how much habitat are we actually providing? What's the quantity of habitat available? So within the ASRP, there's multiple models that are being developed to help guide these restoration efforts. We have the EDT model, NOAA's Chehalis Monitoring Assessment Model, as well as some covert prioritization models that we'll be hearing about later this morning. And all of these modeling outputs are highly sensitive to the quantity of available habitat. It's sort of the foundational base of a lot of these efforts. And so the current distribution information that is being used for these modeling comes from the statewide Washington Integrated Fish Distribution Dataset, or SWFDI, which many of us are probably familiar with. And this data set is based off of limited empirical data as well as professional opinion. And so, as all we're all here familiar with the Chehalis, it's a large and diverse watershed that is, spans, sort of this large area and across a diverse region. And because it's so large, it's not always logistically or financially feasible to survey all habitat. It's just too big. And so, luckily, previous research has shown that we're able to use large-scale landscape characteristics or landscape features to associate with local stream characteristics to describe the distribution and abundance of fishes. However, these relationships vary among watersheds, which indicates the need to develop watershed-specific models that are empirically based. So based off of this, we expect that we'll be able to identify relationships between landscape characteristics that can describe the range of occurrence of fishes across the Chehalis. So based off sort of a priori knowledge and available data, we identified a suite of landscape characteristics that we wanted to explore that we thought may be related to the range of occurrence. First to state, we did look and examine the correlation between all these, none of them were correlated as we move forward. And so with drainage area, this can be some indicator of the position of the stream reach within a watershed and associated ecosystem processes. And we sort of predict that drainage areas have this positive relationship to the range of occurrence. Medial precipitation can sort of influence the flow regime and accessibility of streams. And with that, we sort of expect that that will also have a positive relationship with range of occurrence. Stream channel slope can relate to sort of energy transport capacity within the reach and exertion required to get through that. And with that, we sort of expect that stream channel slope within the reach to have this negative relationship. Elevation is sort of a surrogate that captures a broad range of ecosystem processes. And with that, we expect that to have a negative relationship with the positive, negative relationship with the range of occurrence. With geology, so the response of geology is going to vary by geology type. Different geology can relate to different quality and availability of substrate, as well as hydrographic flow within a reach that may indicate if it's high quality or low quality for spawning. And so based off of that type, it could be either a positive or negative response. When thinking about adult salmonids specifically, wetlands are often characterized by high fines, and so we expect that the presence of wetlands are going to have this negative relationship with the range of occurrence. So diving into the specific objectives for this project, the first one is to document the upper limit of occurrence. And so what we mean by the upper limit of occurrence, this is how we define that range of occurrence. So the uppermost observation of an individual within the stream network then defines that upper extent, and thus all habitat downstream is within that range of occurrence. After documenting the ULOs out in the field, we can then link the range of occurrence to landscape characteristics. Then using those relationships, predict across the range, and then we can compare that to the current assumed range for our species of interest. For this project, our three main species we focused on were coho salmon, steelhead trout, and chum salmon. But today, I'm really going to be focusing on our modeling effort for steelhead. So when going out to the field to document the upper limit occurrence, we selected terminal streams, randomly selected and spatially balanced across the basin. So terminal streams are these independent stream segments that are not nested within any other stream within the network. After selecting our streams, we went out and conducted spatially continuous red surveys using a robust and consistent criteria that allowed us to confidently determine the accuracy and precision of ULOs within the year that we surveyed. I'm not going to dive into the weeds of the methodology for this, but happy to answer questions about that or talk to people after the talk during one of the breaks if there's specific questions. So after documenting the upper limit, we then were able to take that location we saw in the field and project it in GIS across our stream network. The stream network was segmented into 200 meter reaches, and then all the stream reaches upstream of that documented ULO was associated with being outside the range of occurrence. And then the equal number of stream reaches downstream of that point were associated with being within that range of occurrence. And we then took all those landscape characteristics and associated them with each of these stream reaches. We used these data to develop a mixed effect logistic regression model with all those landscape characteristics mentioned earlier as our fixed effect, and then used subbasin as a random effect to predict the probability of a stream reach, or at least the probability of a stream reach for steelhead being within their range of occurrence. So to select our best model, we took a cross-validation of approach and identified and looked at specificity, so the model's ability to accurately predict stream reaches outside the range of occurrence, sensitivity, the ability of the model to accurately predict stream reaches within the range of occurrence, and then the overall percent classification of the model. We also looked at the model's ability to discriminate between the binary response, which we'll see notice here is the AUC, the area under the receiver operating characteristic curve. Sort of a mouthful. So then diving into our results here. So over the spring of 2018 and 2019, we went out and surveyed 122 streams for steelhead, and we documented 97 ULOs across the basin. We see here the ULOs are sort of marked with these yellow dots, and the streams we surveyed are these bolded blue lines. So we then use those data to fit our model, and after the model selection process, we identified drainage area and elevation as our two covariates as part of the best model. And then within that evaluation, this model is able to accurately predict 86% of the stream reaches and correctly classify 86% of the stream reaches. So we wanted to sort of investigate further the response of these covariates. So I'm going to walk you through some of these response curves here. So we're going to have probability of the stream reach being within that range of occurrence on the y-axis, and then the range of our variable of interest on the x-axis. So first, we'll be looking at drainage area. And so as predicted, we saw this nice positive relationship, strong relationship with drainage area and probability being within. And so that 50% cut threshold occurred at drainage areas of 2.4 square kilometers. So there's a 50% probability or greater of stream reaches exceeding 2.4 kilometers being within the range of occurrence. Now we'll move towards elevation here. And this, to note, this is also held with all the other variables in model held constant at their mean. So similar with elevation, with all the other variables held at their mean, we have low elevations on the left here, increasing elevation across the x-axis, probability on the y-axis, and we see this negative relationship where stream reaches exceeding elevations of around 170 meters are going to be below that 50% threshold. And so then using this model, we then were able to predict across the basin a potential steelhead habitat. And with that, looking outwards, we have about 4,200 kilometers of potential predicted steelhead habitat across the basin. And then we can compare that to what the current assumed distribution you're using with Swifty. That's about 2,000. So we're looking at almost twice the amount of potential habitat that's currently being considered based off of our models. It is to note that this is just preliminary model results, and there's further refinement of these modeling coming in the next few months. So thinking about sort of take homes for or sort of conclusions, you know, this limited understanding of distribution was identified as a major data gap in part of the ASRP planning within the Chehalis. You know, within our modeling efforts, we identified drainage area and elevation to be important landscape characteristics that can describe the range of occurrence. And based off our modeling, there's potentially two times the amount of steelhead habitat that is currently being considered. So moving forward, pairing this updated distribution information with identified core habitat and abundance data can help us improve the effective prioritization of restoration projects in the basin. So all this work I've shown is sort of the necessary first steps moving forward, trying to predict the range of occurrence for all our species of interest across the basin. And it's important to note that there are these species-specific relationships with the landscape, and so it's important to take this species-specific approach to understanding how fish may respond to their environment. And we're able to see that modeling can be an effective tool for trying to identify a fish distribution when you're not able to actually go out and get boots on the ground everywhere. So next step for this project is we continue the refinement of our models. And then doing that, we can help then identify the quantity of habitat that may potentially be gained from culvert correction or may be available for restoration efforts. And then we'll be able to compare differences among species, as well as understanding, looking at species-specific responses, differences between the species-specific responses to the landscape characteristics. So with that, I want to first acknowledge all the help collecting the field data. It was not an easy project by any means, so I really put in a Herculean effort, so thank you very much to all of those folks. And then, of course, all the people who led us onto their property for collecting the data, all my colleagues at WDF&W, UAF, and NOAA for their collaboration and assistance with this project, and the Washington State Legislature for funding this research. And with that, I will take any questions.